Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's In This League on FNTSY. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. It's hour three. And for hour three, you know what that means. I've got Casey Bubba with me. And you can find him on the Twitter at BDNTrick, the host of 8 Million Podcast. Casey, give out all the podcasts.
Bench with Bubba. That's the mainstay of them all. I'm new to the Fantrax community with you guys. Fantrax DFS show, which is great. Had Ryan Noonan on this week to preview the week 11 action. Really solid, sharp dude. I have the 2-point conversion podcast, the always pressing PGA podcast, around the base with Bubba and Mo, an MLB DFS show during the baseball season, and maybe more to come. We'll see. I'm always enjoy talking about sports as long as someone wants to listen.
That's right. That's right. I tell you what I want to talk about. First off, here is you are a Giants fan, and yes. The Giants hired Gabe Kapler to be their new manager. We joked about this, and now I think I'm on the hook. I have to send you some coconut oil. So
yeah, you do. And thank goodness I didn't agree to like video me applying the coconut oil, because that would be awkward. Because I'm going to.
Yeah, like, I don't want to watch that. I'll just send it to you. It's fine.
I have to know how it works and all. But this is what we joked about it, and I joked about it because I saw it coming a mile away. Like, it was the second Bochy was done and Kapler got fired. It was just like, here it is. It's coming. This is the one. And it happened. And this is Farhan Zahidi's guy. He worked underneath Farhan with the Dodgers. Farhan loved him. He kind of groomed him. Kapler's as goofy as he is a statistical guy. He manages the way that the new regimes are trying to manage. It'll be very interesting, but I don't know if you were following Twitter when he was hired, but the San Francisco area, The far left community of the world, and then just some other people in general that have differing opinions from Gabe Kapler's past discretions, they were in full force. And the press conference when they announced Zahidi, Kapler, I watched about half of it. And there weren't very many managerial questions. It was more like personal life choice questions. It's quite the decision the Giants made. I guess jumping out and talking about it now maybe allows come spring they can do baseball stuff. But there's a lot more than just hiring a goofy manager that took place when they hired Gabe Kapler.
You know, I remember when he got hired by the Phillies and there was someone there from some paper asking him about, you know, but there's children watching and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, this guy made a blog post about beating his meat with coconut oil like 10 years ago, and people are still upset about it. I don't know what else he did. I don't know what the other stuff was, but it was like, come on, guys, this was 10 years ago. And he even talked about it. He's like, yeah, that was kind of, I was, you know, a little bit younger than I am now. This was 10 years from when he got hired with the Phillies. That's not something I would talk about on a blog now. You know what I mean? Which exactly. I just thought was so hilarious, and people are still upset about it. And I don't even know if the blog's still up. You know, he might have done the bit where he left it up just to aggravate people, but I don't know. I thought it was funny that people were still upset about that when he got hired with the Phillies. They're like, but we want a family manager and blah, blah, blah. Don't you want to win? Like, winning's first. I mean, you're not hiring a murderer or a rapist or anything. You know, guy made a goofy blog post one time. So I don't know. It could be way worse, right? You could have been hiring a sign stealer. Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow. Who would have thought it?
Look, I'm from the Houston area, so I, you know, I don't root for the Astros, but I pull for them, you know, if they're in the playoffs or whatever. I got a lot of family that are huge Astros fans and stuff. But the one little tiny thing that I haven't liked about the Astros is their manager, A.J. Hinch, because A.J. Hinch got his first crack with the Diamondbacks. He left kind of weird. He was terrible here. I don't know. I just didn't, you know, having A.J. Hinch here left a bad taste in my mouth. Phrasing. But I never really liked him. And now it's. I'm not getting like a pleasure out of seeing him in this stuff, but I am kind of like a, well, it's not surprising. He went from a really bad manager to a really good manager in like two seasons. I was wondering, like, what was the huge change here? And stealing signs isn't everything. You know what I mean? It's not going to be able to impact the entire outcome of the game for you, but in big spots, it definitely can. So this is a pretty significant deal, isn't it?
It's very significant. It's a weird dynamic because you kind of have to sit on one side of the fence or the other, where I sit on the fence that, yes, it's bad. Yes, I hope the Astros get punished. Like, you know, fine them, take some draft picks. Do not revoke things they won because the players are still pretty darn good at what they did. And the better teams won these games. And the argument I have on a different angle is if they say they're stealing signs in the ALCS in the World Series, if you heard how loud that building was in 2017, I don't think you're hearing a trash can bang. I'm just throwing that one out there. So they still got it done when it mattered most. Now, is it shady? Yes. My argument is everybody's doing it. In one way or another, everyone's doing it. This is basically the steroids all over again. So it's a very bad look for baseball. It needs to get taken care of for baseball before it gets too out of hand. But there's like the camps that say, I don't care, you know, just put them outside and throw them out to slaughter. And there's everyone else, like kind of my side of it, that says everyone's doing it. So why are we, you know, trying to crucify one team? They got caught, which is bad. You never want to be one that gets caught. But they stretched it as far as they could, just like everybody else. And it's a weird thing and it stinks, but they're all doing it. And I can't wait to see what baseball does about it.
Yeah, like the ceiling signs bit, it happens to everybody. I mean, everybody does it, but I don't know that everybody does it electrically. And you guys will remember that players are getting fined for wearing a certain type of watch in the dugout and stuff like that. Like I remember on opening day, I think it was last year, one of the Diamondbacks bench coaches had an Apple Watch on, and he came out and he waved to the crowd with his, the same hand he had the watch on, and he got fined like 10 grand for having that Apple Watch on. And then I was like, the next day you're not going to see him with that watch on, right? And it's not going to cost him another $10,000. Because electronically stolen signs are like, if you're stealing signs, you got to do it organically, right?
Yes,
you got to be looking at second and staring in at the catcher when he's calling the signs. And that's why you see them go through so many sequences of which pitch to throw, you know, and that's why you see meetings on the mound. If there's a guy on second, you know, they'll say, hey, we're going to reverse the signs or whatever, or, you know, I'm going to throw down four signs. You pick the second one or the third one and go from there, to make it harder to guess, because the guy sitting at second will signal. Like, that's the traditional stealing signs bit, not using a camera. I did love the did you see the, here's the picture of the signs photographer or whatever, and it was a picture of Bill Belichick in Astros gear.
Yeah, that was really, really solid. For a Dolphins fan, that was very nice. And you know, the Red Sox, they got busted for the Apple Watch also, like their whole team.
Right, right.
They had a whole system, so they got busted for it. And I agree. The thing is, the reason why I think more are using what the Astros are doing is the fact that you've seen it nowadays for the last few years. They're running through multiple signs even when no one's on base. So they know someone's watching, basically, and because that used to never be a thing. Right. And then also you've seen some of these guys, like people are, you know, grave digging Twitter at its finest when this took place. And people are saying when they wanted to limit the trips to the mound, there are pitchers saying you can't do this because we always have to change our signs for what people are seeing around us is like basically what they said. So there's people know what's going on and there's more than just the Astros. They just foolishly got caught.
Right, exactly. Maybe that's why we have more home runs. Everybody's stealing everybody's signs, limiting stuff. It's definitely not the baseball. Pay attention to this. So.
Watching George Springer on an 0-2 count absolutely turn on a changeup was pretty impressive. No protecting the plate on that one.
Nope. We're launching this bad boy. So, well, let's get into football here. And you had a unbelievably impressive week against the spread. You were 9-3. Now, I don't know if you even knew that, but excellent work here. And going over the football stuff, like, you know, in hour three, what we always do is Bubba and I take a look back at what happened last week. And then we go over this week of spreads, over unders. And then I make up some prop bets for you to guess at. But when we're looking back at week 10, the first game here, Kansas City at Tennessee. Obviously, Tennessee pulls this win out. And you got all of the bets right on this one, too. I think this is one of the few that is all green. I mean, it's tough to get all five bets right on these for sure. And you got all five on this one.
Well, sometimes you get things right, but it was good to see Mahomes back doing Mahomes things. He was great. Damian Williams looked good. McCoy got a healthy and active right before the game. It's Damian Williams week and it's Damian Williams season coming forward, folks. But we got Henry going beastly yet again, and Tannehill looked very good. This Tennessee team is going to be that frustrating team that people want to hope for. They'll probably finish 8-8 or 9-7, sneak into the wild card. But the Chiefs are going to be just fine. Like, they're 6-4. People are worried. But getting Mahomes back in the way things looked with Hill and Kelsey, it looked good again.
The Browns beat the Bills 19-16. I think I picked the over on this game, too. Kind of a boring game that gets Cleveland back in the win column.
Yeah, boring game. We saw Kareem Hunt get used a lot in the passing game. Nick Chubb used well on the ground, so they didn't really eat into each other too much. But overall, I guess it's good the Browns got back in the win column, but really not a great game. And Singletary's lack of an impact was very disappointing.
Now, the Cardinals and Tampa Bay game wound up being a lot of fun. 30-27, Tampa Bay wins. But David Johnson looked like he was running in quicksand.
Boggs, I think you or I could have ran faster than some of the clips I've seen online. It was brutal, man. Like, if I would have put a Whataburger about the 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, I think you're moving a lot faster.
Oh, I'm getting to it. Yeah.
So I'm just saying this looked bad. The Bucks, Winston keeps becoming fantasy relevant, but I like the developments. Kyler Murray looks better and better to me every week. Looks more well rounded, and Christian Kirk beasted out. For anybody that listened last week, that one should have been good for you.
How about the Giants and the Jets here? The Jets actually won this one 34-27. I think everybody was picking the Giants.
Yeah, everybody will. And I'd pick them again because Jets team's just a joke. But apparently the Giants are quite a joke, too. It was one of those games, like we talk about it weekly. There's like always a game with two bad teams. It's either going to be like the Browns game 19-16, or it's going to be a shootout because neither one plays defense. This was the shootout. Take away what you wish. Like, Danny Dimes looked better. Slayton and Tate did great. But I really don't know what to really take out of it because it's two really bad football teams.
Yeah, and, you know, the running backs didn't play up to their expectations. I mean, Saquon looked hurt. You know, it looked like he shouldn't be out there. He says he wants to play again. I'm a little worried for the rest of the season, but I think, you know, hopefully just give him a week of rest and he'll get back on track. Now, this Atlanta, and I find this one hilarious. Atlanta at New Orleans. You got everything wrong except you picked Atlanta against the spread. And I think that this is the same bit that I did, too, because I took the Saints in the over and they only scored 9 points. They had the fewest points scored this week.
This game was ridiculous. This is one of those, like, you know, every once in a while in a long football season, a good team will find the banana peel. That's what this was. the Falcons couldn't generate a pass rush all season. I think they had 6 sacks against the Saints this past week in New Orleans. It was just freakish. Drew Brees, no touchdown passes. I guess the bright spot is Michael Thomas looked great. But other than that, the big takeaway is Brian Hill's your starting running back for Atlanta that was sniped all over the waiver wire, and I can't wait to see how that poorly turns out. But it's the Falcons. This is just a bad game. This past week was really weird, really, really weird, and hard to take away hard stances on some of these games.
How about Baltimore and Cincinnati? I mean, you picked Baltimore in the over in this one. I did, too. And I said that Baltimore might get to the over by themselves, and they did. They won 49-10 in this one.
Yeah, I was laughing. I immediately thought about that when I'm like, man, they did what Bogman said. They got the over by themselves in 3 quarters. They didn't even need the 4th quarter because Lamar didn't play the 4th quarter because he is the freakest athlete of all time. Like, he is.
You like just, the Heisman package, by the way?
The Heisman package, him just chilling with sunglasses on the bench in the 4th quarter. Like, this boy's growing on me because I like that snarky but can back it up guy. Like, if you can back it up, be a like, that's why I love Brooks Koepka in golf. I know this is golf, but he has that attitude about him that says, you know what, F all of you, and I'm going to take care of this. So I love it, and the Bengals are horrific. How did Joe Mixon carry it 30 times when he lose by freaking 36 points?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just because they knew, like, well, we have nothing, so let's
if we
just...
If we throw it, we might have 3 more pick sixes.
Right, exactly. I mean, seriously, it might be Matt Schaub disease from Ryan Finley. 49-13, I think I said 49-10 in that one. The Packers over the Panthers, 24-16. This was a nice classic. You know, you hear all that NFL music going on in the background with the wintry mix stuff going on in the stadium. This was fun to watch.
It was definitely a picturesque football game. It was beautiful. It was Lambeau at its finest. Christian McCaffrey still cannot be stopped no matter what. He might need a hurricane to stop this man, and that's about it. But I liked what I saw from Kyle Allen in a tough game, still threw for over 300 yards. Receivers did their things. Aaron Jones, 3 touchdowns, saving your rear end once again. So it was really good for a fantasy perspective, but probably not the best, you know, overall football game. But the pictures have been great looking up those with the snow flurries. Good stuff there.
Oh, man, we've got some decisions to make this week in Guillotine, too. It's I feel like maybe I have too many players at this point, but the one good thing is, well, we're down to 6 teams. So it's a lot like DFS at this point. Everyone who loses gets cut and their players go back in. So luckily I was able to pick up Tom Brady going up against the Eagles this week.
Oh, baby, baby.
So I like that one. But I have to replace Aaron Jones. He's been getting me 3 touchdowns too. And I don't know whether I should start Mark Ingram. I definitely should start Mark Andrews. Yeah, Mark Ingram this week. So, but this is why you're here. You're the good luck. You're the good
luck.
I'll try. You're going to help me make my decisions coming up in the next section here. But with that, we are going to hit a break here. We're going to come back on the other side. But stick around because we are going to take a look at the rest of the action from week 10 and what Bubba had predicted. And then we're going to make some new predictions for week 11. So stick right here with us. It's In This League on FNTSY. We will be right back.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the 8th person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
Hello, welcome back. It's In This League on FNTSY. It's hour three. I'm your host, Scott Boggan. You can find me on Twitter at Boggan Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba. You can find him on Twitter at BDentric. And we are talking about the Week 10 games. We're going to get to the Week 11 predictions pretty soon here. But just finishing out this slate of games from last week, we had the Detroit and Chicago game. Might have been the most boring game that I've watched so far. 20-13, but Trubisky actually looked pretty good.
What did you just say? No,
Trubisky looked good. I said I heard the microphone.
Yeah, three touchdowns. That was good. It was just a bad game. You know, Stafford getting scratched. Driscoll actually was better than I think people think. And we might see Driscoll for a little while because a broken bone's in your back. He might try to play, but that's just foolish to me. But we'll see. He's a football player, not a hockey player.
Right. I mean, look, you know, anything that says fracture in vertebrae that I'm sitting out until it's 100% ready to go. So I love football as much as the next guy, and I don't love it nearly as much as Matthew Stafford does, but he's got kids.
I don't want to be Christopher Reeve, so I'm good.
Right, exactly. So they can play that Superman song for you.
It's tough when you can't do the pose anymore.
Miami at Indianapolis. What are your Dolphins doing? They've won two straight now. 16-12. Let's go.
Our draft picks are falling down just like Tua's draft stock. It's all a strategy. I have no idea. I've said it since day one on this show. Once Fitzpatrick was the starter, they're going to be competitive. Even the 2 weeks prior, you know, you were scared for a bit on Monday night against Pittsburgh because they actually looked decent. Week prior to that, they almost win if they get a 2-point conversion against Washington. This one surprised me because it was in Indy, and I thought Indy was pretty good. But they're getting it done. It's just – it's not pretty fantasy-wise. Parker's still relevant. Gesicki's getting targets, but it's not great. And then on the Indianapolis side, get Brissett back, you'll be just fine. And Hilton's still a week or two away, it looks like.
Yeah, Hilton pretty banged up. I mean, is Kalen Ballage the worst running back you've ever witnessed?
I was trying not to talk about him, but when you average about you average less than 2.5 yards per carry. Like if I would have told you, hey, Kalen Ballage is going to get 20 rushing attempts and catch like three passes, you'd be like, yes, I want to pick him up on the waiver wire. That's amazing workload. And then you realize his workload is worse than David Johnson.
Yeah, it's I don't know what his deal is, right? Like, he's real dumb. I just don't understand why. I mean, I'm not even trying to be rude about it. He's just like, you watch him and his situational awareness, like, he has the running skills of a Trent Richardson, right? So he's going to run right in the back of his offensive lineman. He doesn't follow a block very well. And still, to this day, he's the first NFL player I've seen duck when a pass came at him. Like,
he's special.
He literally ducked. So I would give Patrick Laird some time.
Miles Gaskins, please.
Yeah, Gaskin I like too. I just want somebody else, not Kalen Ballage. So hopefully y'all will draft Travis Etienne next year and solve that whole thing. So
that'd be fun.
Yeah, we'll see. There's so many good wideouts and running backs coming out. It's going to be a fun draft.
Honestly, we don't have to, all into it this sentence, but I just re-sign Fitzpatrick for another year and draft all the players to go around him.
Yeah, that's what I would do too. So, or at least get some offensive linemen in there and then give Rosen a real shot. You know what I mean? So he's still so young. He's still developing.
Every time.
Right. It's just like the people that talk about Joe Burrow. They're like, Joe Burrow's nothing. Did you see his film from last year? Okay, well, he's a developing quarterback. So maybe take what the most recent evidence of what he can do is. You know what I mean? And beating Alabama is huge. And I saw some
in Alabama.
God, I saw in Alabama. I saw a scout tweet out, this is going to be one of the most memorable games ever in SEC history, not because it was such a good game and high scoring and fun, but also because we're going to get about 40 professionals out of this game. So 20 from each side. So, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked amazing. Yep. He's improved his draft stock tremendously, but we'll talk draft stuff later in the year. But how about the Steelers? 17-12 over the Rams. Looked real good, too. What do you think of this one?
You're welcome. Minka strikes again. That's all I'm going to say. Like, Minka does it again. We talked about it last week. The Rams on the road. The Steelers defense is legit as all get up, and they showed it. It was good to see Robert Woods have a big game, I guess. But other than that, it's limit Mason Rudolph. I don't know what the running back situation was there. That blew me away, whoever the heck that guy was that tried to take Samuel's carries. But with Steelers, this is how they're going to have to win football games, and you sadly know it. They're going to have to limit Rudolph. Defense is going to have to put him in good spots, and Connor coming back is going to be huge.
Are you talking about Tony Brooks-James?
Yeah, that guy. He sounds like he should be playing at some country club on Caddyshack 3.
Tony Brooks-James went to Oregon. He was an Oregon running back. So,
he's a tree hugger. It makes sense.
A CFL guy. Yeah, everyone from Oregon's a tree hugger. Everybody
naturally.
How about the Vikings over the Cowboys on Sunday night? That was an impressive win.
That was beautiful. It was amazing. Anytime the Cowboys can lose on primetime at home, it's great. It was good to see Dalvin Cook just keep doing Dalvin Cook things. 7 catches for 86, 26 for 97 on the ground, and Kirk Cousins win in primetime. But flip side, this Dallas passing game is legit. If they just get Ezekiel Elliott out of the way, that'd be awesome. But when you pay him that much money, they have to use him, and that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems like they don't fit very well together, Zeke and Dak. And it's not... You know, look, Zeke can fit wherever you put him. It doesn't really matter, right? So he's such a good running back.
Army Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. He can exactly. He can fit in any offensive system. It's just that what Dak ran at Mississippi State was a lot of spread, and he ran the ball a lot too. He was kind of the focal point of the entire offense, almost, you know, like a broke ass version of Lamar Jackson. That's what I would say, because he was, I remember his junior year, I think it was, he was getting legit Heisman buzz deep into the season because he was playing so well at Mississippi State. And then, you know, his performance went downhill a little bit. So he kind of got taken out of that. Mississippi State lost some games. So, that was that. But, you know, when they drafted him late, I was like, maybe this will work out, but he didn't play so well down the stretch, and obviously Tony Romo got hurt, and the rest is history. But I don't know if him and Zeke are a good long-term fit. So, but they're going to have to pay Dak after this season. So we'll see if they're just going to keep going for it. How about the Seahawks over the Niners on Monday Night Football, 27-24. Took to overtime, but no more undefeated teams in the NFL.
It was a great football game. It might not have been the prettiest football game. It had some errors in there, to say the least, but it was great. Both teams playing great defense. Welcome back, Jadeveon Clowney. My God, if you didn't notice, he was playing Monday night. Booger might have mentioned that a few times. But that was great. Debo Samuel, I thought of you. I think about you way too much. It's kind of scary. But I know how much you love Debo coming into the year, and he's – each week he gets a little bit more wrinkles in the system. And this past week when Sanders went down, he blew up. So he had a big game, and it was just a good, good football game. Niners were missing some key players. They still almost pulled it off. I think they're still just fine. People starting to clown on the Niners makes me laugh a little bit. They're a very good football team, but so are the Seahawks.
People clowning on the Niners, that's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, they almost still won this game. and they were down their starting kicker, a bunch of players. So
Sanders, those like huge pieces.
Yeah, yeah, big chunks. We're missing George Kittle, their best offensive weapon, yep, didn't play. So, and who the hell knows what he's doing this week? He's ruled him out, then they said he's not playing, and then they said he is playing, and then they said maybe not. I don't know what the hell he's doing. I don't think
he's embracing his WWE mantra. He's just all over the place.
He absolutely is. So, well, let's take a look. Well, first off, last week, 9-3 against the spread, 7-5 on the over-unders. Props weren't so great, 16-19. But I feel like that just means I'm making them pretty good, right?
I've been saying that a lot. Your numbers are pretty locked in that it makes it kind of tough. Like, I want to say under, but it's such a good number, I take the over, and then it's the under. So,
well, yeah, I mean,
stuff like that. You're a genius, Boggs.
Yeah, well, of course. As long as I'm recognized, that's all I want. let's start out here. Dallas at Detroit. Dallas, a 4.5-point favorite. 49 is the over, of course. Matthew Stafford's status up in the air. Most likely not playing this one. At least one more week, it kind of seems like. So how do you like this game, and who do you see winning it, and does it go over or under?
I'm going to go Dallas and the under. I'm assuming Stafford's going to be out, and that means it's just going to be run the ball, run the ball, run the ball.
So Zeke rushing yards, run the ball with who there? Because Ty Johnson's out too. So I guess it's a lot of J.D. McKissic. Zeke rushing yards, I put it at 100.
I'm going to go over with Zeke. I was referring to the Cowboys running it while Driscoll tries to throw it.
Ah, I gotcha. Galladay catches, I'm going to put it at 5.
I'm going to go over because they're going to have to try to keep up with Dallas. And he actually had quite a few targets with Driscoll last week.
I always wonder, and I have a PFF subscription. I just need to go look it up. But catchable balls, you know.
Yeah, such a great stat.
Yeah, because 9 targets, like he could have just been the guy in the area when Driscoll was throwing it away as far as targets go.
Very good point. Very good point.
I wonder how many of those 9 were catchable. I'm guessing probably 6, probably half of them. But, who knows? And then the last one, I put Amari Cooper receiving yards at 80 because he's been having some huge games here recently. But as you mentioned, we'd expect a lot of running from Dallas. So what do you think about 80 on the over for Amari Cooper receiving yards?
I'm going to go under. It's tough because he has been just going crazy of late, but I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I think I would maybe go under on that as well. Although Amari Cooper, just what a difference going from Oakland to Dallas has been for him. And sometimes that's just the thing, the thing to make you click. It's kind of like Minka Fitzpatrick, just go to a different team and you're more inspired to play, that kind of stuff. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. New Orleans, a 5.5-point favorite. Remember when they were a 13-point favorite against Atlanta and then only scored 9 points? So yep. It's a lot lower this week against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's looked decent recently, though. 50 is the over on this game. How do you see this one going?
Tampa Bay and the over.
Tampa Bay and the over. I love it.
Shootout time, backdoor cover.
There's nothing more that they love to do, Tampa Bay, than to steal one from New Orleans every single year. And I remember last year it was opening day or was that 2 years ago?
I think because he had Fitzpatrick. Yeah, it was last year. Fitzpatrick went bananas week one.
Yeah, it wrecked me in Survivor week wrecked one.
You and like 70% of Survivors.
Right, I was just done. I was like, fine, that's fine. I lost early this year, too. I can't remember who I picked, but I'm sick of Survivor. I can tell you that much. Evans versus Thomas PPR points.
I'm going to go Evans in this one. It's tough. It's very tough. They're both monsters, but I'm going to go Evans.
You know why it's a smart play? Because Marshawn Lattimore is out. And as soon as Lattimore went out in the last game, they threw a bomb to Julio. Yeah. And Julio had a nice, huge game. So I like that pick.
Lattimore has owned Evans, too. So you think Evans doesn't want to, have some fun this week?
Absolutely. Alvin Kamara, total yards. Had a hard time getting it on track in the run game last week, even against the Cardinals. But I put it at 85 because he still had 50 receiving yards. So what do you think? 85 yards, easy over?
I'm going to go under. It's tricky. It's more in respect to the Tampa Bay's run defense is good. So Carmen Mara is going to do most of it through the passing game. And so I'll take the under.
Now, Ronald Jones has gotten a lot longer of a look here recently. Of course, Peyton Barber scored a touchdown last week. It's kind of aggravating.
You saw why that happened, right?
No. Why did that happen?
The drive before that, Ronald Jones fumbled.
God, just get it together. But he, like Bruce Arians even said, he can do more in the passing game. That was his direct quote. So, I mean, what do you think about Ronald Jones? I have his touches at 16.
Yeah, I'll take the over. He probably gets 12 to 15 carries, catches a few passes. I'll take the over. They do want him to be the guy.
Yeah, they want him to be the guy. I think I'm going to start him in guillotine.
We'll talk about that later. I might have to walk you off that ledge.
Okay. All right. So maybe I just think against New Orleans in a high scoring game, one of the highest overs of the week, I think he could get involved here. Atlanta at Carolina. Carolina by 5.5. 49.5 is the over here.
Yeah, I like Carolina and the over in this one.
Carolina and the over. What about DJ Moore receiving yards? He's been really good recently. A lot of buzz on DJ Moore, like after last week, after his 100-yard week, there's been a lot of buzz on him. I'm going to put his receiving yards at 80.
Yeah, I'm going to go over. He's hitting over 100 again. He's going to find the end zone. I like DJ Moore a lot this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's only got one touchdown this week, and you and the Welsh have both called for him to score a touchdown, or this season, I think I said this week. He only has one touchdown this year, and you and the Welsh both called for him to score this week. Is it just because Atlanta's so bad or because they're going to DJ Moore more?
It's a combination of both. Is Atlanta's that bad in the secondary, and Moore's workload has been so good. It's just one of those things he's got to break through, and there's no better time than this matchup at home. Like this is just screaming DJ Moore week.
Now, we heard your haterade on Brian Hill earlier. I'm going to put his total yards at 85 here because they don't have anybody else.
Yeah. No, he'll go over. It's because they don't have anybody else. I was more joking because I was bitter. I got outbid by like anywhere from $1 to $5 in every league that I wanted him in. And so I was bitter. They have no one else, so they'll use him in the passing game, and he'll get his yards that way.
CMC touchdowns, I gave you the hook here. I said 1.5.
Of course you did. I'm going to go over just because it's CMC, and I feel so dumb if I took the under.
Let's go. Yeah, if he scores 3 and you said under, what the hell?
He gets like 2 a week at least. It's just stupid.
He's outscoring, I think, the next highest running back by like 40 or 45 points or something this year, too, in a PPR league. So He's been outright insane this season and so much fun to watch. How about we can probably get one more in before the break here. Jacksonville at the Colts. Indy by 3, even with Brissett's being questionable here. And 43.5 is the over. The return of Nick Foles in this one.
I'll go Indy and the over.
Indy and the over. Foles passing yards, I've set it at 250 because I really don't know what to expect.
It's tough to know what to expect. I'll take the under, but it's tough. It probably sounds stupid because I took the over in the game. I'll take the under.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting game here, but I think that Foles, I may be one of the few idiots, but I still think that Foles is better than Minshew. And I like, Minshew.
Podcast over.
Minshew's fine, but I'm, I'm kind of sick of Minshew mania. So
I know.
I've had more than enough of it. By the way, it was, just looking this up, in PPR, 272.5 points for CMC, 240.5 for Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, 212, everybody else under 200. So
Eckler's
actually still fourth. So, it just, that shows how good he was early in the season here. Then we've got Fournette rushing yards at 90.
Over.
And Zach Pascal catches at 6.
Under.
All right. So under on the 250, over on the 90 for Fournette, and under on the Pascal catches. You sure you don't want to switch that to under 43.5?
Yeah, let's go under.
Okay, I was going to say, picked a lot of unders here to pick the over in the game. But that is going to wrap it up for segment 2 of Hour 3 of In This League on FNTSY. We will be right back for the final segment of the week. Stick around with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready?
ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in the... In this league.
In the dark.
This is it. This is the end. This is all we've got for you. This is the last segment of In This League on FNTSY. It's me, Scott Bogman. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter for him. Remember, In This League, we've got you covered on pretty much everything. We've got basketball fantasy podcast going on right now. We just started our player debate series for baseball because baseball is going up right now. We've got football. I've got college football. The Welsh has minor league baseball. We've got it all covered for you. And Bubba, I forgot to ask you, is there a certain player you wanted to represent in the player debates?
Oh, I'll have to think on that. I should know this off the top of my head, but if I had to pick just one player, that would be like, I could be mean and say I want Juan Soto so Sammy Reed can't, but
We already did it.
Yeah.
I figured
as much. I'll have to think on that, because there's a couple good ones that I like quite like Victor Robles.
Okay. Victor Robles. All right. Yeah. I'll definitely make that happen. You don't have to settle on him. We can, you know, if you want somebody else, I'll give you time to think about it. And if you want somebody else, you can have him. But we're doing guest episodes with that as well. So we had Paul Spohr in the very first one where we did the triple threat between Yelich, Acuna, and Trout. And I think Soto and Bregman was the most recent one to come out. And then it's kind of funny because I argued for DeGrom and the Welsh argued for Scherzer. And the day after DeGrom won the Cy Young, we put that one out. So go DeGrom. Let's go. Denver at Minnesota here. We're going over these over-unders and some prop bets for the Week 11 NFL slate. Denver at Minnesota. Minnesota, 10.5-point favorite, 40.5. Remember, Brandon Allen, the starting quarterback still for the Broncos here.
I'm going to go Minnesota and the I want to go over because I think they score like 30-something points. I think they have their way. I'm going to go over.
Yeah.
It's tough, but I think they have their way with them.
I put Dalvin Cook total yards in 140.
I'm going to go over. I think he has a field day in this one. Absolute field day. He should, unless your boy has his day too, which is very possible.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I love Alexander Mattison, but I think this is just a Cook. You know,
he always gets
like 100 rushing and then like 75 receiving. It's almost every week. It's why he's second. Brandon Allen passing yards, 235.
Under.
Okay. So he's like a 215 day, something like that.
Give or take. Yeah.
Diggs receiving yards. I'm going to put it low. I'm going to put it at 60. I don't really trust him this week.
It's very tough. I'm going to go over just for the fact I don't think Thielen plays.
Yeah, I mean, he's questionable as we're doing this now, so we'll see what his status is. Somehow, the Washington Redskins are favored by 1.5 in this game, even though they haven't scored a touchdown in a month. My buddy Evan Peterson put that up in the group me room that we were talking about, and he did the little emoji of the guy, you know, rubbing his chin like, how is that? But they're playing the Jets, who did just win, too, by the way. 38.5 is the over, so very low. What the hell is going to happen in this one?
Well, you got to think about it. If anywhere you can see lots of ghosts, it's probably Washington with the Capitol in the background. So, yeah, we'll go there. I got Washington in this one, and I'll take the under.
All right, so you're on it then. Washington and the under. Darius Geis touches his debut or return this week, I should say. I put it at 10.
It's a good number. I'm going to take over. They've hyped him up so much. I'm going to buy into the fact they want to get him maybe 12 to 15 touches.
Jamison Crowder catches. I put it at 6.
Over. He'll have like 8 for 62.
Terry McLaurin receiving yards. I'm going to put at 65.
I'm going to say under. I pray to God he starts get going again, but I'm going to say under until I see otherwise.
So no on Haskins, but you're picking the Redskins.
Yes, because it's that ugly, and I have more faith in their defense scoring than Haskins.
All right, that's fine. I mean, the Jets just put up 34, So
against the Giants. Yeah, I know. I know.
I know it's against the Giants and the Redskins defense is better.
My whole theory is Vegas knows what they're doing. Okay. And it seems too easy for the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, a trap game for sure.
Yes.
Because a lot of people are going to have that same thought process. You're absolutely right about that. Of, well, the Redskins can't score. How are they going to win by a point and a half? So, but I'm going to stick with that logic. So,
yes. I don't blame you.
We'll see. Buffalo at your Miami Dolphins on a 2-game win streak. Buffalo only favored by 6. The days of people getting 15-point spreads because they're playing Miami are over after the 2 wins here. So Buffalo by 6, 40.5 is the over. What happens here?
And 6 isn't enough. The Dolphins cover again. Give me Miami and give me the over.
Give me the over again. I love it. John Brown receiving yards. I'm going to put it at 90. Your secondary is banged up and not very good.
Yeah. Did you see he got 12 more points again last week? This dude just does it week in and week out. I'll take the over. Like, the big week is coming with, like you mentioned, that secondary is so bad. It's coming.
He's going to score 3 touchdowns at some point here, and that's going to, it's going to make his yearly numbers look good. Like, oh, look, he scored a bunch of touchdowns and all this stuff, but he still hasn't gone over 100 yards since week one. So
he's a good wide receiver 3 in a PPR league. It's just people have him valued higher than that.
Right. Exactly. They have him valued more as a wide receiver 2, and that ain't it. Kalen Ballage rush yards.
Under. Under.
I put it at 50. So you're going to go under 50?
Yeah, he needs like 40 carries for that.
Oh, man, you're probably right about that. You know, Pizapia on the Black Book, I don't know if you heard it, but he compared Josh Allen to Cam Newton. I thought that was such a good comparison.
Because they're going to be both injured and out of the league soon?
Oh, boo, look at you.
They're What's both, his comparison? I missed it. Well, I'm curious.
Well, because he runs for his touchdowns and he runs for his
touchdowns. Okay, that's a better comparison. Gotcha.
So, you know, just a scrambling quarterback more than even a running quarterback. But I put... is he going to go over or under his points? 23.7 is his average. So against your Dolphins defense, does he go over?
I'll go over, but it's tricky with Allen. It's like he hasn't had the monster games. He just kind of hangs out in that mid-20 world, and I think he'll go over.
Mid-20 world. Is that the same as underworld?
It's close. It's a different tax bracket.
As long as Kate Beckinsale's there, that's all I care.
Yeah, if you put the right amount of coins in, you can find it.
Dude, do you follow Kate Beckinsale on Instagram?
I don't follow. Maybe I should now, according to this, because I trust your opinions on a lot of these things.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I would do that. I would like pull out my phone and do that immediately if I were you. But he's in a phone. Follow Kate Beckinsale. Houston at Baltimore. Baltimore, a 4-point favorite. 50 is the over on this one. And the last time we saw Lamar Jackson versus Sean Washington was Louisville versus Clemson, and there was like 1,100 yards of offense. So this should be a fun one to watch for sure.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this. Wish this was flexed to Sunday night. But give me Baltimore and the over. I think just Houston has a few too many holes. I think it's a very good game. I think Baltimore has the upper hand, though.
Lamar Jackson total yards, I'm going to put it at 300 for him.
Over.
Over. How far
If this game goes over, Lamar's going for 350 to 400. He's going banana lance.
Ooh, I hope you're right. Hopkins catches 7.5.
This is interesting because we might get Will Fuller this week. We might not. He's going to be a game time decision. I'm going to still go over, but it's going to be real interesting.
If I put the caveat on there that Will Fuller plays, what would you go with?
I'd probably go under. Seems like when Will Fuller plays, Hopkins is more like the down the field threat. When Will Fuller's been out, he's been getting a lot of the in-between routes.
Carlos Hyde rushing yards. I'm going to put it at 70 against the Raptors.
This one's a tricky one. I'm going to say over. I think they try to slow and keep Lamar off for a while, but eventually it stops. But Hyde's been playing really well lately.
Yeah, and he had a big game in his last one, too. So it seems like they're leaning on him a little bit more. The Cardinals at the Niners, San Francisco, an 11-point favorite. 45.5 is the over on this one.
Give me Arizona and the under on this one.
AZ in the under. Kyler Murray total yards 250 against that staunch Niners defense.
It's a good number there, Boggs. I'll take the over, but it's real close.
over. Yeah, I think it's going to be super close too, but I think it's going to be one of those where it feels like it's super close, but it's either like, yeah, Kyler Murray got 116 yards total. What did you expect? Or, yeah, Kyler Murray got 350 yards. What do you expect? Like, I feel like it's going to be one of those at the end of the day. George Kittle being a true question mark makes this one way more difficult. But Debo receiving yards, 70. I'm going to put it out for him.
Yeah, I'm going to go over because I'm assuming no Kittle and no Emmanuel Sanders. So I'm going to go over.
I love Debo so much. I'm glad he's getting a national attention. He's going to be a good one for a long time. They made a great pick there. I mean, Dante Pettis might have been a wasted pick. We'll see at this point. At least Kyle Shanahan is still trying to motivate him into doing anything. But I like that one a lot. David Johnson touches. He is not on the injury report here. I don't know how. It should say just terrible legs and back. And put him on the injured list here. But I'm going to put it at 10 because I don't know if you can afford to give him the ball more than that many times looking like he looked last week.
Yeah, I'm going to go under for the Cardinals' sake. Like, he really shouldn't be touching the ball more than 10 times.
Yeah, he just does not look right now. New England at Philly. New England by 3.5. 44.5 is the over here.
Yeah, we're going to go New England and the over because now you're going to get a really pissed off New England Patriots team off a bye week and getting embarrassed by the Ravens. This is the recipe for disaster for a lot of teams. I'm going Patriots big.
Tom Brady pass yards, 300.
Yeah, it's a Brady week. He hasn't had one all year, really. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Zach Ertz catches, I'm going to say 6.5.
I'm going to go under. I know they have no receivers in Philadelphia right now, but we know what the Patriots do. They take away your top weapon. They take away Zach Ertz.
Sonny Michel rush yards, 60.
I'm going to go. That's a good number. I'm going to go under.
You know, I knew you were going to do the noise because I did it. I did it while I was making this.
Yeah, it's like, a great number. It's a really good number because in theory, like I think they go up big, but we've seen them all year. Even when they're up big, they keep throwing it.
Right. And I love Brady against that Philly secondary.
Yeah, Edelman, White are going to have a field day. I think Goddard's sneaky for Philadelphia for playing. Him and Miles Sanders, I think they're both good plays.
Sanu, I think, is a good
play. Oh, I love Sanu as well. Yeah, it's a game stack I like quite a bit that most aren't talking about because all they see is 44.5.
Right, exactly. Cincinnati at Oakland. Oakland, a 10.5-point favorite. The second biggest spread of the week behind San Francisco against Arizona. And 48.5. I never thought I would say the Raiders have the second biggest spread of the week, but here we are. It's week 11 of the 2019 season, and Cincinnati is really bad. So how do you see this one going?
Yeah, this is really bad. It's really hard to do. I'm going to take Cincinnati, but it's tough, like disgusting, and the under.
Cincy and the under. Josh Jacobs total yards, 110.
Over. He should get 25-plus carries in this game. He should have a field day.
Ryan Finley passing yards, I assume they're going to be playing from behind, 250.
Yeah, I'm going to go under. He's going to throw it a lot, just doesn't know if it's going to hit his own receiver.
Joe Mixon touches, I put it at 25. That might be a little bit high because Gio Bernard is not showing up on the injury report, so he should be good to go, but they fed Joe Mixon last week. Obviously, it didn't work. They got stomped, but it might be the offense that they're leaning towards going back to. So what do you think of Joe Mixon touches at 25?
I'm going to go under just because last week was the first time all year we saw Mixon get a workload. I don't think they go back to it again this week.
Do you think if I put it at 20, what would you go with?
I still got to tell myself no because we really haven't seen it, but as a Mixon owner that has to use him, I hope so, but it's just so, like, where'd that come from?
What might be the worst Sunday night football game of the year? Surprisingly, the Bears are at the Rams. The Rams are somehow favorites with no offensive linemen by 6.5. 40.5 is the over. I hate this game. What do you think about it?
It's so many good flex options. We don't flex yet because it's week 11 and we hate our lives. So give me the Bears and the over.
I got the Bears straight up in this game. I think they're
going to win. I would love that. I think Khalil Mack, you know, going feasting on Goff would be amazing.
I think that'll happen, too, because they're out of offensive linemen, literally, in L.A. It's been bad for them. Todd Gurley total yards, they put it 70.
Under.
Under. Wolf. Jared Goff pass yards, 250.
I'm going to go over, but it's an ugly 250. Let's put it that way.
Coming off that donut, Cooper Kupp catches six.
I'll go over. They're going to feed the living snot out of him.
They should. They should. But he didn't have enough time. Goff didn't have enough time to run through his progressions last week. Because
we're going to see just how much of a mastermind they have there in LA now. Because they're going to have to change it up. We've been saying it all year, and their offensive line has gotten worse and worse every week. They're going to have to figure something else out.
And I was super confident earlier in the week going into this game, but about midweek, David Montgomery rolled his ankle a little bit in practice. So he's got the questionable tag now. So if he doesn't play, I might swing back to the Rams. But this game, this game is going to be really, really tough. The Chargers hosting the Chiefs. Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites, 52, highest over of the week. What do you think about this Monday Night Football matchup?
Should be a fun one. I mentioned how I think Kansas City's back. The Chargers are starting to do their second half thing. I'm going Kansas City and the over.
Kansas City in the over. Damian Williams rush yards have put it 70.
Over.
Over.
We saw what Josh Jacobs just did. Damian Williams have a field day.
We did. Keenan Allen receiving yards 75.
I'll go over. He's starting to get worked more and more back into things. I think he has a good one.
He looked healthy too last week. Patrick Mahomes pass yards 325.
Over. I like everything about this game. It looks on paper to be an awesome Monday night.
Yeah, it should be at least a high-scoring, fun affair on Monday night.
Oh, and it's in Mexico. I forgot.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. In Mexico. Oh, at elevation.
Yep. Ooh. Oh, yeah. The señoritas, a little cha-cha-cha. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be a fun game here. Now,
Little Rivers might have another woman pregnant before it's over.
It's only my wife. It's our ninth child this year. What about, so my guillotine lineup here. Help me out real quick before we go. I've got Tom Brady in at quarterback because Aaron Rodgers is on a bye. I dump Brissett because I don't need him anymore. Then I've got Ingram and Kamara as my running backs. My wideouts, this is a difficult thing, and this is why I asked you last week. OBJ, Curtis Samuel, Mike Williams, Jarvis Landry, and Cortland Sutton. And I have to pick three.
Okay, well, I like Mike Williams in Mexico.
Okay.
I sneakily kind of like Cortland Sutton.
Cortland Sutton, even with Brandon Allen.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't like OBJ. Landry's not bad. Who's the other option? Samuel. You play Samuel.
Yeah. So then I should bench my Browns and go Sutton, Samuel, Williams.
Yeah. If you don't like Sutton, play Landry. But I like Williams and Samuel for sure.
Man, no OBJ.
I've had OBJ benched in my leagues for like 4 weeks in a row now. Right. I just can't do it.
Then I've got Mark Andrews and Ronald Jones as my flex. My other options are bad. The Jordan Howard and Darius Geis and all that stuff. So we'll see. That's the lineup that I'm going to go with. So cross your fingers for me. I hope I'm right. But that's it. That is all that we got for you this week on In This League on FNTSY. Follow us on the Twitter at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports, at BDNTrick. Good luck in all your matchups. Hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions. And we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.